This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on July 31st, 2016, the 10th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Put to death what is earthly in you. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The three readings today, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament letters, and one from the Gospel. I'll have this idea of not being attentive to the things in this world. Now, those of us who are in this world, our focus of attention for things in this world happen to be material possessions. And what's really unfortunate is there are millions, and I mean that literally, millions of people that are going to leave Catholic parishes today and are going to hear how, you know, it's wrong to accumulate this, and it's, you're not giving enough to the poor and all this kind of stuff. As I always tell people, you know, you're never going to see me get up here, never going to hear once anything about a homily on giving to the poor. I expect that of you. That should not be anything that I have to say. If you're right with Jesus Christ, if your relationship is what it should be with him, you are going to be giving to the poor. That's all there is to it. You allow no one to be around you in want. It is a consequence of a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. And even those three readings, again, the focus is upon priorities. It's not about material possessions. It's about priorities. It's about refocusing in our Catholic lives. It is about orientation. Everything that we do and everything that we think should be run through the filter of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. It is about changing. It is about getting better. That's what's expected. It's about learning. Our Lord says, the reading from Colossians really drives the point home. It's not about material position. It's about putting to death what is earthly in you, as the scripture says. The Holy Spirit speaks through St. Paul. It is the manifestation, the requirement of our application of our baptismal contract. Your baptism is a contract. You make promises. We make promises at our baptism. Now, generally, for most of us, that's when we're infants. But guess what? In your confirmation, that's exactly what it is. You are confirming that what someone else accepted for you as an infant, you are confirming of your own volition that the change is going to occur in your life, that you abide by the contract, so to speak. And what is our baptismal contract? What is it? The Holy Spirit tells us in Romans, he tells us through St. Paul, he said, you are buried with Christ in your baptism. You do not bury people that are alive, all right? You are buried with Christ in baptism, and you are raised in newness of life. We love to hear about this whole new thing. We love to hear that we are new creations. We love to hear of our newness and our adoption in Christ. And we should. We should relish in that. We should glorify. But we can never lose sight of the fact that that newness negates the old. Things have got to change. That's the whole reason. Why be baptized? Why be confirmed if nothing's going to change? Why go to church now on Sundays? Big deal. Big deal. Sleep in on Sundays if nothing's changing in your life. If you don't live out there the way you say you do in here, all the amens that we say in here before our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the tabernacle, all those amens we say, if you're not going to live that life, I mean this in all sincerity, sleep in on something, because your soul is in much more jeopardy if you come here and lie or double tongue things than it would be if you would just sleep in on Sundays. Our Lord expects change. That is, as I said, our baptismal contract. When we embrace this contract, we are supposed to put to death what is earthly in us. A couple verses later, we had, you have died and your life is hid with Christ. You know, sitting in the office this morning talking about Calvinism and how the grace alone, faith alone, all this alone stuff. We have in this very passage, it talks about his grace. It talks about how we've died in him. And now he expects something of you. He expects a practical application of things. A lot of time I get up here and go, this is not a moralistic sermon. This is a moralistic sermon. These are moralisms. They're not suggestions. It's what our Lord demands of us. The practical application of our faith. This whole idea of a new man. When a new man comes, the old things have to end. Our Lord Jesus talks about you cannot put, you know, old wine in new wineskins. They will burst. It can't coexist. We have to become new. We have to mortify, so to speak, our irregular desire. Not so to speak, mortify, literally. Mortify, mortification. I pray God you know what that term is. I think there are a whole lot of Catholics in our day and age that don't. We are supposed to mortify, to kill these old things that are within us. They are supposed to end. And it does lean that literal. That's where we get the word from the same root, mortician. We mortify, we put to death our irregular desires. Those things that were of the old man. Because when we do that, we are enabled to subdue the temptations with which we are inundated in our day and age. You know, temptations have always been around. Always. Okay? But I mean, back in the day, you could, you know, walk, you know, before things got industrialized and urbanized, you know, you could walk down the path and you wouldn't have to worry about looking at a billboard that had a suggestive picture on it. Punch up your computer and be researching something about, you know, some scientific research and have a pop-up ad come up because of something that you looked at 2 weeks ago that's suggestive also. We almost seemingly can't get away from it. In our day, it is of the utmost importance to mortify these irregular desires within us. And that is up to us. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. But because of the sacraments, because of his word, because of prayer, you can overcome these things. And he expects you to do so. He expects you to uphold your part of the bargain in your baptism by mortifying these irregular desires. By having an elevated viewpoint, not viewpoint, worldview. It's more than viewpoint, it's worldview. We as Catholics have an elevated worldview. Not just, a lot of people hear world, oh yeah, what you should view the world differently than the world does. But how does generally the folk out there think about the world? Cutthroat, get what you can. You know, if it feels good, do it. All this other kind of good stuff like that. You know, get what I can. It's all about me. We have an elevated worldview. You know, we ought not sit here and go, oh, I'm this, they're that. They have that worldview and I have this one. So never the twain shall meet. No, we're supposed to let them know what they can have in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to let them know the grace that he shows us. And then we're supposed to emphasize with them that they are supposed to change. That is where I would submit to you that unfortunately the church in the general gist of things is falling short. Not telling people that they have to change. Not saying that the old man has to be put to death. Oh, you love Jesus, you go to church, that's good. Give to the poor. That, and, you know, everything will be well. No, everything will not be well. I point out quite frequently, there are philanthropists in this world who give, I mean literally, billions of dollars to charity. They give more to charity than probably all of us in here combined will ever know as far as money. And if they don't repent, they'll go straight to hell when they die because they do it for the wrong motive. They haven't changed. They have not become new. You just throw money at things and hope it goes away. And that's not what our Lord wants. Our Lord wants us to go out there. He didn't say one thing about going out there and throwing money at anything. He says, go out there and make disciples. That's what he says. And to make disciples, to become a disciple, you have to convert. And that means turning away from something. We have to have an elevated viewpoint, an elevated worldview. And you know where it's got to start? It's not going to do anything if it doesn't start right here for each and every one of us as individuals. This elevated view has to, even for ourselves. This is not to puff you up, but as a result of your baptism and as a result of your confirmation, you should have an elevated view of yourself. I despise when people come up to me as a, you know, I hear them talk. So I'm no better than that person out in the street. I'm no better. That's a ridiculous statement. That's blasphemous to say that you're the same as a person that's unbaptized and unconfirmed. You are in union with Christ Jesus. And when you're in union with Christ Jesus, you are markedly different from them. At the very end of this passage, it says, here there cannot be Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, and it goes on. What is he talking about when he says, here there cannot be? Here in Christ. Because everybody is in Christ is the same. But if you're not in Christ, you're not. You heard it here first, folks. There's a lot of dribble coming on right now. Oh, our brother and sister this, our brother and sister that. That's not the case. They're only your brother and sister if they are in Christ. That's it. We love them. They bear the image of God. But unless they're in Christ, they're not your brother and sister. Sorry. But that's the case. Our Lord says it here. Herein there cannot be Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, Scythian or barbarian. In Christ, that doesn't apply. Outside of Christ, it does. That which makes it so glorious to come to Christ is because then we are all one. This idea of change is not a suggestion. It is a demand of our Lord. It's not suggestion. This is one of those times. They've been frequent here lately. I told last night, I think I'm going to get a buzzer like on the game shows. When you hit it and the lights flash and there's a big alarm. When you hear a reading and it's edited and there's something left out, I should hit the buzzer while it's being read because you should be on guard. You'll notice in your bulletin, the lectionary reading today says Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 11. As soon as you see that gap, you go, I wonder what's going on in verses 7 through 10. Or, you know, what's going on there? As I always say, you know what's going on there? You can almost guarantee this. Something about judgment, something about hell, something about the necessity of you converting. Something that's required of you. And guess what? That's the case today. Because if you read the reading the way it is this morning, it sounds like a suggestion. It sounds like, you know, you can give this or take this. If you want to be a uber Catholic, then you do these things. If you want to be real holy and real pious, then you do these things. If it's read the way we heard it this morning. When you leave three verses out, particularly verse 7. This is what it says, okay? And this is the Word of God, just like the other parts. If somebody just sat in an office somewhere and decided, this is too harsh for them. This shows the necessity of the change. After the list comes, and it's only one list, we'll get to that in a second, you know, all this talk about, you know, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness. We shouldn't do that stuff. Appreciate the suggestion. The next verse is, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That changes the story completely. It changed from, here's this list, give it or take it, to, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. I don't like to hear about that wrath of God stuff. That's Old Testament. Well, duh, that comes from the New Testament. Holy Spirit says the wrath of God abides on the sons of disobedience. And then he gives another list. Because that list that I just read, oh, that's them out there. We're not immoral. We're not impure. We don't give over to our passions and evil desires. We're not covetous. Come to my office. We'll sit down. I will tell you how the vast majority of us, and I will use myself as an example, do violations of those things every single day. So it's not them out there. But then there's another list. Okay? Those are the high-end things that we just read. And then you get this other list that you didn't hear this morning. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk, using bad language. Those common everyday things. Every single day. The common things. Those no less separate us from our Lord Jesus Christ than those big things. He expects you to change. He expects you to be different. What family in this world, what family, well-ordered family anyway, would a father direct his children, don't do that. I'll do it if I want to. Okay. We would make fun of that guy. What a slack jaw he is. That's not a father that would let his kids do whatever they want, or mother to let anybody do what they want. A well-ordered family doesn't happen like that. And why do fathers and mothers nurture their children? Why do they direct them? Why do they punish them to make them better? So you don't come away from this thinking, oh, that's one of those heavy homilies, you know, this do this and don't do that stuff. You know, I want that loving God. That's why it's there. That's how much he loves you. He wants you to get better. And unless you get a grip on these things, you won't get better. You will not get better. And that's what he expects. He loves us. So these are the things that actually express his love. Not the warm and fuzzies talking about knew this and knew that. And sitting in here and listening to stuff that makes you feel good. It's about changing your life. This is where you hear about it. Out there is where you do it. This is about changing. He wants us to change because he loves us. And there is consequences if you don't change. What happens to a little kid when dad tells, don't do that? No. Well, in my house, when I was growing up, shame on you. All right? Get this. Go sit over there. I couldn't sit. Something like going that. Yeah? You know? Ah, the good old days. He loves us. He wants us to change. St. Jose Maria Escriva, he talks about two practical applications of this particular reading. He says, one, it indicates to us that we need to do everything with a supernatural purpose. Everything that you do in life. It's not about Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Saturday evening, whenever you go. It's not about that time. It's about your life. And it's about every day doing everything. Everything with a supernatural purpose. If you're thinking about buying a car or buying a house, you know, I say that quite frequently. Do it through the lens of Christ. Pray about it. Ask, do I need this? Do I need this? Do I need to put a burden on my budget for this? Am I in a position to do this? Is it necessary? It may very well be. Ask him first. Everything that we do should have a supernatural purpose. And that kind of leads into the second point he makes. When we do these things, you know, we hear this, like I said before, if you read these things, oh, that, well, that's just the hyper-Catholic thing, you know, I'm just going to live my life. We can't. We can't just live the old life, but you have to understand that it doesn't take some great undertaking. You know, you don't have to slap a habit on your head and go sit around your house and never come out until you're going to church. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about just the opposite. It's talking about engaging in the world. It's talking about honoring Christ in absolutely everything you do, whether you dig ditches or work on brains, or whether you're a homeschool mom. Everything that you do should be done to honor Christ and to communicate His truth to those who are around you, who are watching you do these things that honor Christ. So you see the integrity between the two things. It's about growth. Don't get disheartened and don't get disappointed with, I don't see this kind of change in my life, and I've been in the church for 10 years. You know, I'm just going to stay away because I can't do this. As I always point out, that word can't, ridiculous. It's not I can't do this or I can't stop doing that. It's I won't. It's I won't stop doing this or I won't start doing that. Our Lord demands that we do. It's not up to you to say whether you can't or won't. If you're in Christ, He expects this of you. But our growth is from stage to stage, and it can be excruciatingly slow. It's like planting a tree. You plant a sapling. It looks like a stick. And you go out a month later. It still looks like a stick. You go out a year later. Still pretty much looks like a stick. Go away for 10 or 20 years and come back and see what it looks like. That's our growth. I used the illustration this morning to tie this all up. St. Paul talks about the struggle between the old man and the new man. Our Lord is telling us here that we need to put the old man to death. To use colloquialisms, we don't just shoot him. Or we just don't cut his head off. It doesn't work like that. We need to beat him to death. We need to beat the old man to death. And it's really hard to beat someone to death. It's particularly hard if you don't have any enthusiasm to do it. How long is it going to take to beat somebody to death if you tap them on the cheek every now and then for a couple months go away and then come back and tap them on the cheek a couple times? How long is it going to take to beat him to death? You need to beat him to death. And you know what? You get in a fight, this is from my back in the old days, back in the police days. You get in a fight, even if you win, you are real sore the next day. Even when you win, you're sore. It hurts to fight. It hurts bad. That's what our Lord expects from us. If you can look at that, well, I don't have to fight hard. Here's your example right there. Okay? He did that for you. You can't fight. You don't fight, you're going to surrender. And you don't want to surrender to our enemy. This is about orientation. It's about change. And with this, quote from that. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. This is not an option. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.